Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
What's required and asked of you to represent our university.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
We're all in to finish what we've started.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Two great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo, along with Glenn Gilbo, who's the editor for Tiger Rag Magazine and the executive editor, Todd Horn, Andre Champagne, LRN reporter and Tiger Rag reporter, our producer once again. Loaded show for you tonight. A lot to get to. Obviously, the Lane Kiffin news will drive the train here. No pun intended when you're talking about the Lane train. But Glenn, Todd, very interesting on how maybe by the end of the week we'll have a very, very good idea on who the next head football coach for LSU will be.
Well, it depends on who you listen to, right? If you're buying into what Lane Kiffin is trying to promote with his non-denial denials, then you would think that it's not something at the utmost front of his mind. But what everybody else is indicating, and Ole Miss is definitely apparently wanting, is a decision sooner rather than later, and sooner rather than later means sooner than next week, even in a lot of cases.
Well, Glenn, your thoughts on it?
Well, I think it's just wild, you know. It's an open date, and Lane has some time to make a decision. I really don't think he knows what he wants to do yet. If you remember when he was considering Auburn a few years ago, he didn't have his mind made up for a while, and his daughter Landry kind of helped make up his mind. She sent him a video of them enjoying themselves at Ole Miss, and then he finally made his decision shortly after that. But I really don't think he knows what he wants to do yet. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, I understand why Ole Miss doesn't want him to coach in the playoffs if he's going to go to another school, though that has happened before, mainly with assistants. But he kind of deserves that in a way. I mean, because he built it, you know. But it's just a tough decision. If I was Lane, I think I would stay in Ole Miss. But as a guy who covers LSU, I'd really like for him to come to LSU. I wanted him to be the coach back when they hired Brian Kelly, and I also wanted him to be the Saints coach when they hired the last two guys. So it's going to be real fun to see what happens.
See, Jeff, I don't think there's any question that he's clearly LSU's number one choice, and he's clearly Florida's number one choice.
And Ole Miss's.
And Ole Miss's number one choice.
And maybe the New York Giants. We don't know that one yet.
But I'm interested to see what our first guest has to say about it.
Yes. I wanted to get you guys to chime in here first before we get into it. And first of all, Todd did talk about a non-denial. You mind if we just play that soundbite really quick, if we could, Andre, just so in case our listeners did not hear it. Lane Kiffin was on the Pat McAfee show today, and it was more of a fluff piece and a promotion piece for Lane Kiffin. They didn't really dive into anything, but Pat McAfee did ask Lane Kiffin today if he was under any kind of an ultimatum, as was first reported by The Athletic, I believe, that he must make a decision by the Egg Bowl, which is a week from Friday, on his future coaching plans. And here's what Lane Kiffin had to say.
That's absolutely not true. There's been no ultimatum in anything like that at all. And so I don't know where that came from, like a lot of stuff that comes out there. Like I said, man, we're having a blast. I love it here.
And Kiffin was overly excited throughout the entire interview about being the head coach of Ole Miss. Okay, let's bring in our first guest here, Lon Phillip Sullivan of LSUOdyssey.com. He joins us on Tiger Rag Radio. Lon, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. How you doing?
Doing good. Thank you for having me. Andre, Jeff, Todd, Glenn, thank you guys so much.
Well, thank you for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
So what is the latest that you have, Lon, on the Lane Kiffin sweepstakes?
All aboard the Lane plane. That was a wild all-timer day yesterday, wasn't it, guys? With some people tracking the airport flights from Oxford to Baton Rouge and the LSU private jet and Layla Kiffin coming to Baton Rouge for a tour. You know, what I've got lately, as of right today, you know, people I've talked to, players on the current Ole Miss team, don't really know where it's going to go. They're not saying it's quite a distraction or a huge circus, but they're saying that they really don't know what's going on or where it's going. They're just kind of staying day to day, kind of pushing for their goals this season. As for, you know, from an LSU standpoint, trying to get Lane Kiffin, it's all up in the air right now for Lane. LSU are going to put out, you know, their best shot for Lane Kiffin. He has been their number one target. There was a push for Saban, a kind of a try for Saban. Can we maybe entice? Okay, that's never going to work. Now our realistic number one target, Lane Kiffin. And really, I think you're going to see LSU's best shot here. Why not? Lane Kiffin, I think if you give him a top defense, even if that's you keep Blake Baker or if he brings Pete Golding,
he's going to bring Pete if he comes.
Yeah, it seems like that'll probably happen. As long as you marry what Kiffin can do offensively, which is specifically controlling games on the ground too, which people don't really pay attention with Kiffin, you bring that back to LSU, which LSU hasn't had for the entirety of the Kelly era, unless it was Jaden Daniels running it. You marry that with an actual defense at LSU. You're talking about something special at LSU with Kiffin at the helm.
Hey, Lon, this is Todd. Hey, can we sort of go over this timeline a little bit to match it to what you've found out throughout the course of this and to see if we can tie a knot around it as to where we are right now? Glenn and I were just talking here in the Super Chevy dealer studio right before the show started, and I was saying, hey, man, straight up, if Lane Kiffin had made up his mind yet, then he would have signed that contract extension that Ole Miss has put on his desk that makes him like a $13 million a year salaried coach, and he would have signed it just like Kurt Cignetti did, just like the three or four other coaches, SMU coach Lashley, Matt Rule at Nebraska. Anyway, all these coaches have been targets of other schools, and they went ahead and signed extensions to cement that they're staying. That's what Ole Miss wants Lane Kiffin to do, and he's just not ready to do that yet. In addition to that, whenever Billy Napier was fired a few weeks ago from Florida, my understanding is that at that moment they started reaching out and expressing an interest in Lane, and Lane didn't turn them away. Instead, Jimmy Sexton, Lane's agent, started negotiating a deal with Ole Miss to increase his salary, which is what's sitting on his desk right now. Florida matched that offer, and then Layla and other members of the Kiffin family ended up in Florida the day before they came here to Baton Rouge. So he's clearly shopping, getting to know what he needs to know, what he needs to understand so that he can make a decision. My big question to you is that the same timeline you're hearing, and who escorted him or Layla and whoever else came while they were in Baton Rouge?
As far as an escort for Baton Rouge, I heard that was people close to Kiffin, mostly people that he was coaching around with on the Ole Miss team. So that's going to narrow it down to maybe KJ Bolden, Austin Thomas, some people like that who have some history with Kiffin. As far as the timeline, man, this is so weird because I think you're onto something here. I think this whole ultimatum. Does he have an ultimatum? He just denied it. Okay, he denied that. But the whole, we're going to go on McAfee to deny the ultimatum thing. I was just speculating about this on my show earlier. That seems so strange, and it seems like maybe let's calm this down and let's figure this out. Whether you're going to leave or you're going to stay, let's calm this down so that we can finish this season the right way. I can't see them sending him to the door, getting rid of him because he's pursuing other jobs with what he's built there and what they might have at stake here if they finish the season the right way. That would be shocking to me, but I think we're going to find out, like you guys have said, very soon, most likely by this weekend, whether the ultimatum was real or not. I think we're going to see a lot of dominoes start to fall in which direction this is going. I can't see Ole Miss letting this drag out and letting this become a thing for too much longer.
Lon, I don't believe Ole Miss has no leverage to put up some kind of ultimatum. That's ridiculous. Lane is in control of everything. I mean, I just wrote about that today. Okay, let's say Ole Miss may think it has an ultimatum and a deadline out there. So what if Lane breaks it? What are they going to do? Are they going to fire him?
And I agree with that, but there is a real interest for Ole Miss to get him to make up his mind.
But they also need to be careful. They need to be careful not to upset him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because that could hurt their chances of getting him.
Yeah, but you've already offered him $13 million in the Kings to the Kingdom that he built.
Yeah, that's true. But he's coaching his team, okay? He doesn't have time to sit and decide what he wants to do for the next 5 or 10 years. He's trying to win a national championship for Ole Miss, you know?
Yeah.
So, and this is America. He deserves a chance to think about
it. Don't you know that the boosters control everything?
No, Lane controls everything.
Yeah, see, that's
Lane controls LSU,
that's what's going on.
Florida,
now, that's what's
and
going,
Ole Miss.
But that's what's going on right now. They got the boosters. They're big boosters who have been stroking those checks and you know, compensating him to the level and agreeing to compensate him. No, they're like, hey, give us some love back right now.
Well, look, Nick did the same thing. When Nick was trying to decide if he wanted to go to the Dolphins from LSU, he changed his mind like 3 times, okay? And he changed his mind a couple of times when he went from Michigan State to LSU. But, you know, Lane's going to need some time, and I think by about this time next week he may have made up his mind. But Lon, do you think he's a great coach? As an as a guy who covers LSU, how excited would you be if Lane does take the LSU job?
Yeah, first off, the ultimatum existence of the ultimatum, who knows what's to believe there and you know, the validity of that. I totally agree with your view on that. But Lane Kiffin, I think there's some situations he's come up short, some end-of-game situations he's gotten wrong. I mean, you can just look at the overtime loss to LSU last year. That's a game Ole Miss absolutely dominated for 90% of the game.
He lost to Kentucky last year. That kept him out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's had some big losses. There's no question.
Lose to Kentucky at home. I mean, crazy. But, you know, I think you give him the keys to the kingdom at LSU. You actually have a chance for a complete team by doing what's right on the defense. You keep the trenches. You keep bolstering the trenches. And what Lane does to an offensive line with his running scheme, I think has a good chance to help LSU out trying to get that running game coming back to LSU, which we've been just sorely lacking for years now.
Lon, can you stay with us?
I'm excited.
Can you stay with us through the break, Lon?
Of course, of course.
All right, let's take the break, and then we come back. More of Lon Philip Sullivan from LSUOdyssey.com. If you're not following him on Twitter, social media, or going to your website, well, then you're not being a real LSU fan. You go to TigerRag.com first when you start off your morning, and then you go to LSUOdyssey.com. We'll have more of Lon Philip Sullivan when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
a sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio. Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo. And we have another segment here with Lon Phillip Sullivan from LSUOdyssey.com. And Todd, go ahead and fire away this first question of this segment.
Hey, well, Lon, we're gonna kind of switch gears a little bit. I mean, everybody's, you know, probably saturated with the Lane Kiffin stuff. Basically, he's LSU's top target. He's Florida's top target. He's Ole Miss's top target. And we all think that we're probably going to know something probably by the end of the week.
It'd be funny if you went to Arkansas, huh?
Yeah, right. but so let's go back to something that's plagued this LSU odyssey. Ha, see what I did there? All year long, and that is the injury status of Garrett Nussmeier. Of course, he threw for 4,000-plus yards last year, 29 touchdowns, came back for his fifth year, was going to lead LSU to the SEC championship, college football playoffs, and his heart was set on a national championship game. Then he gets injured early in the season. You start reporting about that, and you get browbeaten on social media, get denials from LSU. My question for you now, since you've been vindicated completely, and he's obviously been injured all year long with not just one, but a couple of different injuries, but one primary one, I guess, that's hard to shake and continues to get aggravated. But why did Brian Kelly insist on playing him all year when it adversely affected his play, the injury?
Man, that's a great question. I hate to say that it has anything to do with the fact that they have the same agent and the same kind of pursuit of glory in that respect, but maybe they just felt like seeing Michael Van Buren and his accuracy in fall camp practices and spring practices, which was not, I mean, very hot to cold, not really something you could hang your hat on, you thought. But you saw what we got from Garrett Nussmeier. It was absolutely shocking. And what was shocking to me was how first saying, you know, talking about the knee, and I wasn't too worried about his knee, but once I heard about he's just torn his abdominal as well, both happening during fall camp, I'm just like, this is the worst case scenario for a quarterback in this kind of situation, in this moment. Everything's building towards the season for Nuss, and now you've got two of the worst injuries for a quarterback to have, especially with a bad offensive line in front of you and kind of an anonymous running game, right?
Right.
And so I was very worried for Nuss in that respect. But you just kept seeing him played over and over and over. No 300-yard game, barely over a touchdown in any game. I really have no explanation for why they did that, other than maybe they just thought he was the guy that could actually do it.
I think that was it. I mean, if Underwood comes to LSU last year, he'd have played. He'd have played maybe even in the opener.
That might be true. I mean, that could be true, because what we've seen from Garrett Nussmeier was just not good enough. And I mean, and what's sad to say, Glenn and Jeff and Todd, I really think if LSU had actually had MVB from the beginning, mm-hmm. and played it very conservative, and if you can control the ball for 7, 8, 9 more minutes than your opponent, like we did this last week, maybe it's not going to look pretty. Maybe it'll be really, really ugly and a lot of close games. I'm going to take my chances with that, where you're avoiding a lot more negative plays. You don't have an injured quarterback. The limitations, you saw what that did to Nussmeier mentally over the course of the season as well. Things looked like they were ready to just boil over at any moment on the sidelines. And it was just a very nasty scene.
Do you think we've seen the last of Garrett Nussmeier in a LSU uniform, or do you think he comes back before the end of the season?
You know, I that's a good question, because I thought, you know, we would have MVB get a shot here against Arkansas, then preserve his red shirt. He's obviously not going to play, hopefully, in my opinion. I think it would be crazy to burn this red shirt with these two games. But, you know, I thought they'd have Nuss play for these next two games, and then MVB plays in the bowl game, which wouldn't count towards his redshirt eligibility. I thought that's kind of the playbook, but now it's looking like, you know, Colin Hurley's left the team. Emile Piccarella's might be the guy who's going to be actually playing for LSU in some of these games potentially, because it doesn't seem like Nuss is really recovering from what Frank Wilson has said.
Excuse me. I don't think Van Buren is concerned with his redshirt right now. I mean, he got to start an SEC game, and now he gets to play two more in a bowl. I mean, I don't think he's worried about a redshirt. Do you?
No, you're right. I mean, Van Buren said he didn't care. Buren said, I don't care about the redshirt. I want to play for this team. I'm just saying, from my perspective.
Yeah, because you can count money.
like it's just a big. It's just a big deal to have that extra year.
Well, the new coach, whoever they hire, needs to bring a couple of quarterbacks with him.
It's going to have to happen.
And I think maybe from Michael Van Buren's perspective, he wants to put more of his game out on tape.
Yeah, because he might transfer, right?
Yeah, he might have to transfer. I mean, it's crazy.
It's true.
Hey, Lon, we can spend 2 hours here with you, but we got to cut you loose here. Thanks a lot, man. Tell the folks out there really quick how they can follow you.
You can follow us at Lon Phillips on Twitter, and on our YouTube, of course, our YouTube channel at LSU Odyssey. But really, LSUOdyssey.com is the central hub. We post the links for everything that we do on every platform there. Just follow us there and give us a subscription if you can. And everybody, go Tigers, and get ready for another crazy week. Thank you guys for having me.
It might be another couple of crazy days coming up here. Thanks, Lon. Let's take a break. We'll be back after this.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac home standby generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac standby generators.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-CUMMINS, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-CUMMINS.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo. Let's get right to our next guest here, Michael Katz from the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. He joins us now. He's been covering Ole Miss for a long time. And Michael, thanks a lot for being a part of Tiger Rag Radio. You're on with myself, Jeff Palermo, along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo. And set the scene. Is it panic situation there in Oxford? Give us an idea of the buzz around town there as we're all on Lane Kiffin watch.
Yeah, what is Lane Kiffin doing right now this second?
if I knew that. I think it's a combination of maybe a little bit of panic, a little bit of confusion. I feel like depending on what you hear and when you hear it, you're probably leaning one way, and then you hear something else 5 minutes later, and you kind of go another direction. The McAfee interview today, I don't think really resolved anything or made anything any clearer. I think we're all just sort of in wait and see mode. Obviously, there were some reports in the last couple of days about his family making trips to Gainesville and to Baton Rouge, and obviously that is not something that Ole Miss fans are liking hearing. And then, he goes on McAfee and talks about how much he loves it, and a hottie totty at the end and all this stuff. So there's just a lot of misdirection and a lot of smoke. And I mean, honestly, this is my fifth season covering this program, I'm kind of used to it at this point. I feel like we do this at least once a year with big jobs. Obviously, the biggest one prior to this was probably 2022 with Auburn. This is probably the only other one that's felt super real. I think it kind of comes with the territory of Lane Kiffin that there's going to be a little bit of a circus. You're going to win a lot of games. At certain points, you're going to have these sorts of situations. And I think Ole Miss, if anything, just really wants some clarity. I mean, you're 10-1, you're on the verge of making the playoffs. You got the Egg Bowl coming up. I think the last thing they want is to not know heading into the stretch run.
And to that point, even though Michael Lane went on McAfee's show today and said, absolutely, there is no ultimatum, there is a sense of urgency, and that's understandable, like you said. So do you think there's been high-level conversations or nitty-gritty, come-to-Jesus meetings with him where they're like, hey, look, you got to tell us one way or the other, because if you're going to decide to go to Florida or you're deciding to go to LSU, then we need to get into the coaching cycle, the coaching carousel. We need to get this taken care of or it's going to hurt our program. Is that the sense that you're getting?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the ultimatum thing, I think, maybe that's some semantics in terms of, what is a quote-unquote ultimatum. I would be surprised if there wasn't some sort of deadline or a, hey, man, like, we need to know because we're going to have to go into coaching search if this isn't, if this isn't the direction that you're going to go. We're kind of getting to that point where, if he wants to play this out and coach him through the playoffs and you get into January, say you win a playoff game or two and you're in the middle of January and he decides to go, all the good coaching candidates are going to be gone by then. And you're kind of left out, kind of left in the wilderness. So I think Ole Miss obviously wants to know, where this is going sooner than later, because if you have to make an alternative plan,
Now's the time to start doing it because all these other schools have gotten head starts, you know, LSU and Florida and Auburn. I mean, these places have weeks, sometimes up to a month, depending on the place, to kind of get a head start. So if that is what ends up happening, I think Ole Miss wants to know. And of course, there's the question of, you know, would he coach in the playoff? Would he coach in the Egg Bowl, depending on when the decision happens? There's just a lot of moving parts here, but I think that the sooner it gets settled, I think the better for everybody.
So, Michael, you came in with Lane. Y'all came in at the same time about, right?
I came in his second season.
Oh, okay.
This year was the COVID year. 2021 was my first season. But then the ultimate irony is that he was the head coach at USC when I was the sports editor of the Daily Trojan. So we go way back.
Well, let me ask you. That's interesting. How honest is he? You know, when he's being interviewed in press conferences, as you know, you've covered him for years. You know, all coaches got to lie a little bit at times, but some coaches are good at being candid and honest. Where would you rate him in that category?
I'd say it probably depends on the topic. I mean, there's certain things that he's extremely open about and he wants to talk about or get a message out about, you know, the college football playoff and the transfer portal and NIL and all these sorts of things. He has been like very clear where he stands on those things. And I think that's partly because you're trying to put out a message because you're a head coach and you're okay, trying to make sure that people get your message. But, you know, obviously, you know, again, I've done this a few times now with him when it's that there's a no comment and then you've got, you know, reports on his family being places and then he's retweeting certain things and but he says it's not a distraction and they're not going to talk about it. So I think it really just sort of depends on
Let me ask you then, sorry to interrupt. How honest was he during the whole Auburn thing?
Well, that one was interesting because it sort of came to a head at like the very end. I believe it was Egg Bowl week is when that all sort of went down.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that I think it was that Monday that the report came out, and we had heard rumblings about it, but nothing super serious. And then, of course, he referenced the famous Tommy Tuberville. You know, what do you want me to say? I'm going to leave here in a pine box. And so that was the whole situation. But you know, I think that with Lane, it's difficult because I honestly don't think he knows what he's doing yet.
Exactly,
and decided. Yeah, and I think that was the case with Auburn, too. Like, he was going to Auburn until he wasn't, and then he changed his mind. I think there were probably times when the safe bet was that he was going to go to Auburn, but obviously he changed his mind, and things worked differently. I just think it's – I think a lot of people are throwing things out there of, oh, well, this is a definite – you know, he's going here, he's going there, and I just don't think that – that's how he works. I think, one, he's focused on, you know, he's trying to win some games and trying to go 11-1 and go to the first playoff that Ole Miss has ever been in. But two, I think there's a lot of factors involved in this. It's family. It's your personal happiness and well-being. It's do you want to leave a grass, you know, is the grass necessarily greener? And he's done that before, and it's bitten him. So I do think there's some decisions that I don't know that he's necessarily ready to make yet. And I think that's what makes this sort of deadline or, you know, the reported deadline so interesting because it's going to force his hand. And I'm not sure he's ready for that.
So if Nick Saban and Jimmy Sexton are whispering in his ear right now and telling him where to go, or advising him on what to do, do you think that has a lot of influence over his decision-making process right now?
Quick answer.
I would say it would probably play a little bit of a part, but I think he's his own guy, and he's always going to sort of do what he's going to do.
What do you think he eventually does, Michael?
If I had the answer to that, man, I would have put money in Vegas.
You couldn't tell us what he's doing right now, and you can't tell us what he's going to do. What good are you?
No, that's what I keep asking too.
This is your last appearance on this show.
No, it's not.
Michael, thanks a lot for your time, man. I know it's some busy days, and I think we got a couple more busy days ahead. We'll take a thanks a lot again for your time.
Absolutely appreciate you.
All right, that's Michael Katz from the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Let's take a break, and then myself, Todd, and Glenn will talk about what's going on here from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here inside the Super Chevy Dealers Studio, Jeff Palermo, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and the editor, Glenn Gilbo. Well, guys, we had two great guests on, Lon Phillip Sullivan and Michael Katz. I know you guys have been making the calls and so forth and talking to as many as people as you possibly can. And I know we were joking around with Michael on what's going to happen. I don't think anybody does know what's going to happen. And anybody that's telling you that this is signed, sealed, and delivered, Lane Kiffin is going to LSU, or no, Lane Kiffin's going to Florida, or Lane Kiffin is staying at Ole Miss, I don't think a decision has been made.
No, it hasn't.
I think LSU has probably put out an attractive offer that has him really thinking. And I really think Lane may have thought that he can just let this play out, take his team to the college football playoffs, and then when the season was over, he would have the ability to make the decision. And there's probably a bit of them that might be a little bit surprised that Ole Miss is pushing back at him and saying, you got to make a decision by the Egg Bowl.
See, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I don't think Lane thought he could go into January 20th.
Yeah,
but, leaving everybody hanging. I don't think that.
Yeah, because of the
maybe not January 20th, or how about at least through December 19th?
Yeah, maybe.
I think that he thinks, this is what I think about what you just said. I think that Lane may have thought that he had enough stroke that he could tell them what he was going to do and still coach through the playoffs.
And I think he does have enough stroke to do that. What are they going to do, fire him? I mean,
yeah,
really.
I think they could.
Well, but that would be really stupid, I think. And what would that do to the buyout? I mean, would that be with cause or without cause if they fired him?
What about LSU's situation? Not to change the subject, but could they have two coaches on the payroll at the same time?
That is interesting. Like,
what's Virginia Tech doing with James Franklin? Is he like coaching this Saturday?
That's weird.
I don't have time to look at what's going on. You bring up
an interesting subject, because Lane built this team, okay? And Ole Miss has never been this good. Lane has been consistent at Ole Miss.
They were this good whenever Vaught was coaching them.
When who was coaching them? That was in the
whatever.
Sixth.
But
actually they're better now. They've had more 10-win seasons in a shorter period of time than Vaught ever had. Now, they didn't play as many games back then.
Right.
But still, he's in the mix as much or more than Vaught ever was. And in a way, he deserves to coach this team in the playoffs, because it's his team and he built it. So I think the best thing for them to do from an Ole Miss perspective would be to find one of the assistants who would be the interim coach, sign him to a 2-year deal, you know, and then you don't have to worry about, oh, I got to get into the coaching market. You're just going to have to go with somebody on your staff.
But they
and don't feel too bad about it, because you're in the freaking playoffs and you might win the national championship.
They're not going to win it.
But the buzz is they really like John Summerall. If they can replace Summerall with Kiffin, they feel like that's
– And Auburn's already putting the heat on him right now.
And let's face it.
That's getting
a
little too greedy, though.
But let's face it. I know, and maybe I'm going to do a bad job making this comparison, but granted, LSU, the debacle against Texas A&M, LSU was forced to fire Brian Kelly, but a part of the reason why they were forced to fire Brian Kelly was because Florida had fired Billy Napier, and they knew Florida – was going to for Lane Kiffin, and LSU needed to get in the Lane Kiffin.
Well, but I don't know about that, because Woodward fired Kiffin not knowing that he was going to get fired, and I don't think Woodward wanted to hire Lane Kiffin. He certainly didn't the previous time. I don't think.
Well, I think he'd.
Maybe he'd have changed his mind.
Yeah, maybe, but. Let's see how much time we got left in this. So we got a couple more minutes left in this segment. So one of the things that you wrote about, going on at TigerRag.com, is Nick Saban's involvement in all of this. And we'll carry this over past this break, too, into the final segment.
Oh, no, I have to leave. I can't stay through the break. I got to go.
Well, if he does, I'll talk about it some because Todd and I are actually both leaving
after the break.
But I had to.
Me and Andre will have a free conversation.
We're meeting Lane. We're meeting Lane and Layla.
But I'm more than equipped to talk about it because I've had to defend it for 2 days straight now. It seems like so.
Well, what do you mean defend it? I mean, to me, it seems pretty obvious, right? I mean, Nick Saban is a mentor to Lane Kiffin.
The emotion out there in the fan bases is such that on Twitter and texting to me, that everybody's saying everything's baloney. It's not true. Prove it. Say what you're saying. And so, you know.
It's true. Believe me.
Yeah. I mean, it's horrible out there right now.
Impeccable source saying that Saban's involved.
I can't understand how someone can't comprehend that. How much Lane Kiffin looks up to Nick Saban. I mean,
just to be clear, though, Jeff, Nick hasn't really talked to Lane. He's talked to Sexton and Verge about Lane. He hasn't talked to Lane. I said that was in the story.
Okay. We'll talk more about it when we come back.
All right, let's get into it a little bit more. One more segment in this hour, then Bruce Feldman from The Athletic will join us. We'll get his take on what's going on with the whole Lane train here. Wild times, crazy. Let's take a break here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was a life for me. Home of the LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
Hey, we love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, hour number one, we're wrapping up. It's flying by, and we got Bruce Feldman coming up in hour number two. We'll also give you a scouting report on Western Kentucky. The Tigers do have a game this Saturday, the topic is all about LSU's coaching search. So we were talking about Nick Saban's involvement here, and Glenn, since you've been able to talk with individuals close to the situation, what are you hearing?
Well, Nick is very close to Verge Osbury, and a great LSU source who I've used before said that he gave a list to Verge back, you know, within a few days after Coach Kelly got fired, and said that Lane Kiffin was the number one guy that he should get. Eli Drinkwitz was on that list along with the Georgia Tech coach and the Louisville coach.
Jeff Brohm and Brett Key, respectively.
Right, right. And and in that order, Kiffin, Drinkwitz, Key, Brom. And that, but he says Lane's the guy, he says he's ready for the job, and you know, Jimmy Sexton has been Nick Saban's agent since he was at Michigan State, and Nick has talked Lane up to Jimmy for the LSU job as opposed to the Florida job if he decides to leave Ole Miss. That's another key factor, because just a couple weeks ago, Nick said that Lane should stay at Ole Miss. So it's kind of like if he leaves Ole Miss, he ought to go to LSU is what Nick's been saying, which, you know, is natural since Nick coached at LSU. He never coached at Florida. But, you know, that's his opinion that LSU would be a better job for Lane if he leaves Ole Miss than Florida would. And what the source said, you know, if you want to win a national championship, you should take the LSU job. But to that I said, you could stay at Ole Miss and possibly win the national championship this year. It's a tournament. I mean, you know, it's a tournament. Anybody can win it. And he's certainly been close. You know, it's not like this is just a one-shot wonder. He'll probably be good more at Ole Miss. So he's got a tough decision to make. There's no question about it.
And we'll have plenty of time to talk about this if it does come to this. If Lane decides to stay at Ole Miss or goes to Florida instead, how dicey does this get for LSU?
You know, I think Virg Ausberry has been around so many searches at LSU. I think he's got a couple of guys ready to go if he doesn't get Lane. And one of those guys might be Eli Drinkwitz, or has usually been the case at LSU searches, there might be a guy out there that nobody's talked about. You know, that's happened.
It's an interesting question, Jeff, because you, Glenn, you look back at the Kelly hiring in November of 2021. Kelly was not high on the radar. Everybody was expecting
Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley to be named. And
Dave Aranda was a popular name.
But Lincoln Riley was the guy,
yeah,
supposedly.
That was the big one, yeah.
And he stiffed LSU at the last minute, and within 24 hours, Brian Kelly was signed, sealed, and delivered to LSU.
Yeah, maybe it should have been more than 24 hours, so Scott could have done some checking, checked his age, checked how old he'd be after a 10-year contract. But that's another story.
Well, my point is that
yes,
Verge may have a backup already.
Yes, exactly. He probably does.
All right, let's take a break. Let's get Bruce Feldman's take on this. Very interested to get more of a national perspective. He writes for The Advocate, and he's also with Fox TV. So we'll be
back after this. The Athletic, not The Advocate. The Athletic.
Would I say Advocate? I meant The Athletic.
That's all right. That's all right.
Thank you for correcting. We'll be back after this here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
What's required and asked of you to represent our university.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
We're all in to finish what we've started.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gildo.
Three great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Welcome to hour number two. Jeff Palermo, news and sports director of the Louisiana Radio Network, along with the executive editor of Tiger Rag, Todd Horn, and the editor, Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne, our producer, also LRN reporter and Tiger Rag reporter. Let's get right to our next guest here as we're broadcasting from the Super Chevy Dealer Studios, and that is the great Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and Fox as well. Bruce, thanks a lot. Crazy times right now, so we are going to ask you what we've asked everybody so far here on the show. What is Lane Kiffin going to do, and when is he going to do it? What are you hearing?
Man, I don't know if anybody knows. Lane Kiffin likes to loves attention, and he likes to keep people guessing. You know, initially I felt like, you know what, I think he's going to stay in Oxford at Ole Miss, because I know his family likes it there, and I know he realizes he can get to the playoff from there. But, you know, is he tempted by Florida? Is he a little tempted by LSU? I'm sure he has, you know, has some interest. It's also probably not a stretch to think he's going to be able to, he and the people who represent him are going to use all that as leverage, whether he wants to stay or not. They're going to get the biggest deal out of it possible. And right now he's the belle of the ball when it comes to the coaching carousel.
Hey, Bruce, this is Todd. Maybe I'm a little sensitive, but it sounds like you said that Florida may be tempting to him. Maybe LSU's a little tempting. Does that mean you're favoring Florida in his mind?
I think that's my hunch on it, just because I think he has some more connections there. You know, he spent a lot of time in Florida. His ex-wife, I think, went to school at Florida. You know, he obviously coached at FAU and got his coaching career really off the ground as a head coach there, in this second act. So that's why. And also, you know, as good of a job as the LSU job is, and obviously you guys know the history with, before Brian Kelly showed up, the previous three previously coaches all won national titles there, which is a rare thing to accomplish from one coach to the next to the next. But to wonder how much dysfunction and just kind of craziness that you might have to deal with as a head coach there, you know, it's not to say Florida has perfect alignment, because it's been a while since somebody has won there. They keep firing coaches. They've tried everything different. But I just wonder if there's a little more of a connection to being in Florida than there is for him to be in Louisiana.
Sure, and I think he owned a home in Tampa at one time. And, of course, his dad became the great defensive coordinator at Tampa.
So his wife is the daughter of John Reeves, who was the great Florida quarterback.
That's right, that's right. A lot of ties there. And as Virg Osbury would say, though, Bruce, all the politics and craziness happens at LSU only when you start losing. So that's what he's probably telling Lane, you know.
I think it happens. I mean, it's just like, honestly, it still happens around there.
Yeah, sure it does.
You can say that, but it happens, you know, like even win or lose. It's worse when you're losing. But I think it's still, we've seen plenty of examples where it's going on, win or lose.
Right, right. Everybody's hand is in the pot. But Bruce, what do you think of Lane as a coach, just a pure coach? What is your opinion of him?
I think he's done a really terrific job in Oxford. You know, he was a good play caller, certainly, for Saban. And I think what he's done is he's continued to evolve as a football coach, and credit to him for that. You know, is he going to win a national title? I think one of the knocks on him for a little bit was he had taken a program and stabilized it, but you did wonder, can he get it over the top? You know, and last year, you know, as good of a year as it was, they built a talented roster, and then they ended up, you know, losing to two teams that were, you know, that were unranked that probably they shouldn't have lost to.
Yeah, Kentucky.
Right?
Unbelievable this year, loss.
Yeah. You have a good win over Oklahoma. We'll see how they do, you know, if he's the head coach, you know, 2 months from now, how they do in the playoff, because there would have to be an epic collapse for them not to make it into the playoff, and then we'll see. You know, as you guys well know, just getting to the playoff or just having a top 10 team isn't going to be good enough at LSU. It might be good. It'd probably be good enough at Florida, but I think that's why – you know, he's definitely a good coach. He's definitely a really good play caller and a good, you know, good with scheme. I think there's a lot of other pieces that, you know, still remain to be seen. But it's not like there's a deep pool of candidates out here, whether you're Florida, Penn State, or LSU.
Bruce, I'm going to change the subject on you a little bit. I know you spent a lot of time, did a lot of digging, did a lot of work investigating this, talking to a lot of people. Where did Brian Kelly go wrong at LSU? Why did that $95 million, $100 million fail?
I think it started out with he was just a really bad fit. I think for people who are kind of paying attention to how he has been. You know, in that job, I think one of the things that was Nick Saban, certainly, Les Miles, yes, Ed Ogeron was obsessed with recruiting. You cannot be like, you know, thinking about golf or not being here or schedule and stuff. Like recruiting, you have to be ready to go and build relationships. And I feel like that was the part he did, you know, he was not a great fit for. Now there's other things, like we did a couple of real deep dives at the Athletic on Brian Kelly, one last year and one this year after he got fired. The one last year, you know, I talked to this kid who started 2 years at center. He was on the record, basically just said Brian Kelly, he never really tried to get to know him. I mean, this wasn't like a walk-on who never saw the field. This was his starting center for 2 years. I mean, it was just kind of like eye-opening, because you would hear a lot of stuff from other people in the building. This kid, you know, put his name on it about, that just wasn't who he was. You know, it was always about if somebody wanted to meet with him, you'd have to have an appointment and schedule an appointment. That's not how college football works at most places. And so I think that was a big part. He certainly made some bad hires along the way early on. You know, like, you don't need to be going outside of Louisiana to get a lot of players. I'm not saying you can't get some, but why are you going to the Midwest for a bunch of guys? And, you know, look, some of the moves he made early on, the first guy he fires, Tommy Moffitt. You know, Tommy Moffitt was good enough to help three different guys win national titles. Tommy Moffitt knows what he's doing.
Corey Raymond was another mistake.
Oh yeah, and they rectified the Corey Raymond piece, but it was already pretty late because they had good offenses and terrible defenses. You know, Corey Raymond knows what he's doing. A lot of it was change for change sake. Whether a lot of that was Scott Woodward, you know, saying he wanted those things, or Brian Kelly leaning into it, it was a big mistake.
Go ahead, Bruce. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You, something you just said about Scott Woodward leaning into it, that's something you found out, right, that Scott Woodward was very involved, or more so involved than most people would think, in football decisions and pressing Kelly at different times.
Yeah, and you would hear, you know, we talked, Ralph and Russo and I, for the story we did a couple weeks ago, we talked to a bunch of people who were there, some are still there, and they would just say, we've never seen an AD as involved in the day-to-day football program, whether it is in the recruiting, you know, like the recruiting board and the minutia of it. You know, it's great that your AD can have an interest in it. It's another thing when he is so actively involved in it. You know, I don't think it was Ed Ogeron's idea to say, let's bring Bo Pelini back. I think there were certain things that the AD cares. And the AD's certainly made some good hires in other parts of the Athletic program, but I think some of these things ended up coming back to bite Brian Kelly and bite LSU in the butt.
What do you think would happen if Lane Kiffin had a good enough relationship? I don't think he really cares that much for Brian Kelly, but if he were to call Brian Kelly and get his take, what do you think Kelly would tell him about the LSU job?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I can't imagine he has that good of a relationship, because I see what Lane's tweeted about him and tweaked him on certain things. So I can't imagine.
He's right with Jimbo on Lane's admirable list. He's right there with Jimbo Fisher.
He's probably a little lower, because Jimbo didn't go dance on that spinning thing or go, you know, Jimbo sounds like Jimbo. Jimbo didn't come up with that accent. Like Brian was giving people a lot of fodder, whether he intended to or not. I don't know. I'd be curious about that, because, you know, when we did our story, like, I know my colleague Ralph Russo heard some people who are definitely in the Brian Kelly camp to some extent, you know, and I feel like a lot of that is, you know, at the end of the day, the results are the results. He was there 4 years. He never had a top 10 season. He had a Heisman Trophy winner. You know, That's good. I mean, Jaden Daniels was a you know, great get. But I think, again, they didn't have a top 10 season in 4 years. I don't know how, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's like the head coach is accountable for that. He shook things up, and it, you know, he shook up the bottle and it blew up in everybody's face, especially his.
You mentioned Ed Orgeron, Bruce, a second ago, and you had the great book on him, Flip the Script, after the 2019 title. I talked a little bit to Ed last week. He's been mentioned for Arkansas and Oregon State jobs. I don't know how seriously of a candidate he is. Do you think Ed is going to get a head coaching job soon?
I don't know. My gut is Arkansas may want to just hire a group of five guy and maybe somebody younger. You know, Ed, I don't think Ed and Sam Pittman have that much in common. To be honest, they were both old line coaches, and they're both, you know, in their 60s.
Right.
But, Ed, you know, like Sam, it was his first time as a head coach and first time in the SEC, and Ed obviously had been through it, both, you know, learned from the mistakes at Ole Miss and then, you know, ended up being a head coach at USC for a bit, and then obviously was at LSU for a while. I just think that a lot of times ADs want the opposite of what they had, and that could be a more of the upstart guy who isn't, you know, is in his 40s or maybe even late 30s than that. I don't know what Oregon State's like. It's a different level job. I don't know what the expectations are. Arkansas would have, you know, it seemed to me would have made a lot of sense because he actually coached there as a younger coach.
Strength coach.
And there's a lot of, and there's a lot of overlap there. But I think ultimately it's like, that's going to be the AD's decision. And my guess is it'll be somebody who's, you know, more of the group of five level coach than a coach who's either been in the SEC or, you know, a former head coach.
Bruce, if Lane Kiffin does come to LSU, do you see Ed potentially joining him on the staff at LSU?
It wouldn't shock me. I mean, Ed and Lane go way back. I mean, Lane's younger brother, Chris, Ed kind of mentored for a while when he first got into coaching. I mean, they have a big connection. So I wouldn't be surprised if that, obviously Ed knows Louisiana as well as anybody. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was something that Lane reached out to Ed about if it went in that direction.
Hey, Bruce, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Bruce Feldman from The Athletic joining us. We'll take a break. More coming up from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio. This is Tiger Rag Radio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac home standby generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac standby generators.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo. Guys, we'll have Jim Mashick, who covers Western Kentucky. He will join us coming up.
Jim Mashick is a big name in Baton Rouge, man. He played offensive line for Western Kentucky in the early 70s.
You know, when I was a young pup like Luke, growing up.
You were a lot like Luke.
And working at the...
You got to explain who Luke is.
Luke is Andre.
Andre Champagna. His nickname is Luke Champagna.
So anyway, but Mashick worked at the Advocate, and I was working at the Advocate, working the desk and, you know, covering high school games and stuff. And he taught me a lot.
Yeah. He was a great...
He used to be a regular guest here on Tiger Rag Radio. So yeah. This is not his first appearance. It's been maybe a decade. I think Matt DeVille was the editor of Tiger Rag when we used to have Jim Mashick on, because he'd provide comic relief. So I'm really looking forward to that next segment. All right, guys, some rapid fire questions here for you. Do you think Lane Kiffin will be the next head coach at LSU?
I do.
Okay.
I want him to be the next LSU coach, but I just have a bad feeling. I don't think it's going to happen. I hope it happens.
I want to say yes too. I want to say yes too, but Lane is so good at trolling, and I just no one can read him. I just think no one really truly knows what's going to happen.
Just like his offense.
The reason I say yes is because Saban through Sexton is pushing that. If he makes the decision to leave Ole Miss, like Glenn said. And number two, he basically described LSU whenever last week he was asked.
But he also was describing Florida, too.
What makes it – but LSU was okay. would get more of the lean in that description.
Okay.
So.
But you're an LSU guy.
I am. I am.
But he did say everything but the oak trees. You're right.
Yep. Go ahead, rapid fire.
Next one, rapid fire.
Next. Yeah. Okay, if it's not Lane Kiffin, who will be the next head coach?
I'm leaning towards Dillingham.
I would think it's going to be Eli Drinkwitz if it's not him, but it might be somebody we're not even thinking of.
I'll go both of those guys. It's going to be one of those two. I don't think it's going to be Brohm. I think it's going to be either Dillingham or Drinkwitz.
Okay. Go again. You're not rapid enough.
Has Garrett Nussmeier played his last down at LSU?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. If he doesn't dress out this weekend, yes.
Okay, well, yeah, right. Okay, all right. Let me ask you, do you think Frank Wilson will be a part of the next staff?
Yes.
Maybe.
I'll say yes as well.
Or maybe he's allowed?
For a recruiting.
I would say yes, standpoint. But he might not be one of the assistant coaches. He might be... you know, GM or football ops.
Or just a recruiting
like
coordinator.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I could see him moving him up to a kind of more of an administrative role. I could certainly see that.
But still active with the players and recruiting.
Okay, all right. Will Michael Van Buren be the starting quarterback for LSU next year?
No.
I'll say that Michael Van Buren will be a starting quarterback next year, but it may not be at LSU.
Yeah,
I will also say the same thing as Todd. I think LSU is going to go after a high name profile kid in the portal.
Okay, all right. Those are. I don't know. I don't think I got any more questions.
Oh, come on, man.
what else?
I got a question.
Yeah, sure.
Is LSU beating Alcorn State right now in basketball?
In hoops? I don't know. I don't know, and I don't understand. I understand why Matt McMahon's team is playing Alcorn State. I don't understand why Kim Mulkey's team is playing Alcorn State later this week.
You just don't like basketball, Jeff.
I don't like it in November during a coaching season.
Luke tells me that LSU's losing 25-20 to Alcorn State right now.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. Kim Mulkey was critical of the low number of reporters at her game at Tulane. Last night, she accused the reporters of worrying too much about Lane Kiffin. The Advocate was there, and Andre was there from
Luke.
Tiger Rag. Luke was there,
too. Yeah, she wasn't talking about me, so
But she was upset here. She was upset that the TV stations for Baton Rouge were not there. You think she has a point?
No. I don't think she has a point at all.
Okay.
To be fair, it is just an hour drive.
but it was a non-ranked team, and it's November.
She doesn't know who's, you know, a lot of TV stations on Mondays. You don't have both reporter. Andre would know this a lot more than I do.
That is true.
They would be there Monday night of the Final Four.
Right.
That's different. I mean, this is Tulane, and you're beating them by 40 in the first 4 minutes.
Monday is also a big off day. And if she wants
better coverage, play better non-conference teams.
Yeah, but let me ask you this.
That's true, too. Yes. And how about talk to the media during the week when you don't have a game?
Exactly. Good point.
I want to ask a serious question. Andre, you were there. Why did LSU play so poorly after the first quarter?
Well, I don't think Kim Mulkey kind of just left her second stringers in when they were kind of struggling, and I think she was just trying to test them for the most part. But defensively, they looked really poor last night, especially down low. Now, the guard play was phenomenal, but the post players, they definitely showed some weaknesses last night, which we haven't seen because they haven't played any height. So that was most concerning. But trust me, Alcorn State might be winning tonight, but they're certainly not going to win tomorrow night. And they certainly might not get more than 10 points tomorrow. So
I will say something positive. The score 100 points in 5 straight games against, regardless of who you're playing, it is impressive. I'll say that.
That's the highest. They're the highest scoring LSU women's basketball team ever right now, yeah, aren't they?
All right.
Yeah, so. Only team in the SEC to score 100-plus points in 5 straight games.
Jim Mashick, when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious. With multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gilbo and Todd Horn from Tiger Rag Magazine. I don't think most LSU fans recognize an 8-2 team is coming into Tiger Stadium on Saturday night. I mean, that, you know, this is big time here. 6-1 in Conference USA. The Hilltoppers will be visiting the Tigers. Here to talk about it. Covers Western Kentucky, played for Western Kentucky. Jim Mashick, longtime college football reporter, now writes at jimmashick.com. Jim, thanks a lot for being a part of Tiger Rag Radio. We used to have, in another lifetime ago of Tiger Rag Radio, we used to have you on quite a bit when you were working at the paper in Biloxi. So it's great to have you back on.
I remember.
And,
pleasure to be back.
It's a pleasure.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
That's awesome.
I'm in the parking garage at Western Kentucky as we speak. I wanted to see the corgi race. I'm not covering the game, but apparently all the four of the five corgis went in the wrong direction. That was the halftime entertainment.
Who was the favorite corgi and by how much?
Well, Randy Lee, the voice of the Hilltoppers and a buddy of mine, he dubbed the winner the Secretariat of the Corgi Race World. So that's pretty high praise, wouldn't you say?
Wow, yes, for sure.
A lot happening there. You sure? That sounds more exciting than sitting outside late.
I didn't want to be in the press room during halftime doing this because I know Glenn could get pretty outrageous. And Todd, oh, man, just, you know, open the exits. Get Todd out of here. You never know what he's going to come up with.
Hey, Todd said that you mentored him back at the Advocate, man. When he was covering high school.
All I know is that picture of us at the regional in UK went down there 3 years ago.
Oh,
I guess
that's right.
Two or three. Yeah, I had my eyes closed, and Todd kind of stuck his head in. I put it on my Facebook profile.
He photobombed us, man.
Yeah, I think it was a photobomb. You're right.
Well, Jim.
That was a fun trip. I drove. I wish I could come down, but I'm covering high school football and Friday night in Louisville, and I'll be watching. I mean, my friend and I, my dog, we're going to make a little adventure out of it and go to Bardstown on Saturday. It's a kind of a hit, trendy town with cool. A lot of historical sites. Yes, it's really cool. And a bunch of distilleries. It's maybe 45 minutes from Louisville.
Well, Jim.
On the way to Lexington.
Jim, so. Since you're not going to be here, just tell us if an 8-2 Western Kentucky team can score 28 points on LSU, they'll probably win. So can they do that?
You know, I heard theories along those lines. I asked the producer what the spread was because I really didn't know.
22.
Is it down to 22?
I just know that it's
I think
now.
I heard 23.5 just now, but okay. It's okay. That's a fair number. We kind of thought it might be 20.5 in that, there could be a potential push. But Western can score some points now. They could score. Now, they have a new quarterback, y'all may be aware, Rodney Tisdale Jr., redshirt freshman from Jacksonville. He replaced the original starter, a graduate transfer from Abilene Christian, named Maverick McIver. And, wow. Of course, he goes by Mav for short. And I covered Maverick's dad, Rick McIver, at the University of Texas.
Oh,
including
awesome.
That disastrous Cotton Bowl where they helped Miami win a national championship. They lost to Georgia 10-9 earlier in the day, and then that night Miami upset that really good Nebraska team.
Well, Jim, I tell you,
1984, New Year's Day, 1984.
Well, you know, I would be afraid, Todd. I don't know if you agree. I would be afraid to give 22 points and take LSU in any game, but what kind of team?
I've seen a lot of their games, Glenn. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces. I saw most of the Alabama game. I didn't see A&M or Arkansas. It was an early season game I saw out of conference. I can't remember.
Clemson probably. But,
yeah, Clemson. Is Nussmeier done?
Nussmeier is probably done. He's probably not going to play any more this season, but their backup Michael Van Buren looked pretty good last week. But what type? How does Western Kentucky play? If you can give us a rundown, Jim.
They are a passing offense. Defense, they're kind of, they like to play coverage. They sometimes they don't rush enough. Their pass rush is a little weak because they're playing coverage and rushing three guys and that almost burned them against Middle Tennessee last week, which, by the way, is 1-9, I think. And MTSU has the old Vandy coach, Derek Mason. Wow. And I don't think Derek's long for that job. It was a bad hire, kind of like Billy Napier at Florida. It was just a bad hire.
Well, now, Jim.
Hey, I want to hang with Billy Napier, though. I want, you know, wherever he's going, I want to hang out.
Well, he's at Georgia right now on staff.
Well, Jim, I got to ask you.
Yeah, he's helping them with their recruiting already.
Wow. So, but he isn't officially part of their coaching staff, is he?
I think he's one of those consultants.
He's like a consultant or something? Yeah.
Analyst. So, Jim, how are the Western Kentucky offensive linemen compared to those offensive linemen that they had at the Hilltoppers in the early to mid-1970s? Case in point, Jim Masher.
They made me play offensive line, Glenn. I was a slow linebacker in high school, old Okie 5-2, read, react, spend a lot of time on the field, get some highlights, get a scholarship. I didn't get the scholarship, so I wound up at WKU. My mom grew up an hour from here in Tennessee in Cheatham County between Nashville and Clarksville. They made me an offensive lineman. And as I told you this morning, the OL coach and I were from different planets. And he was where, you know, the banjos and the bourbon and the hay rides were. And I was from Washington, D.C. Metro. It just didn't work. So I wish they had given me a shot at defensive line. I might have been able to help. But it's the only thing I ever quit in my life. The ex-teammates that I've reconnected with have all been really, really helpful and friendly. And Virgil Livers, who played for the Chicago Bears for 5 years, lives right down the street from me.
Awesome.
And I've been meaning to do a story on Virgil. I just haven't had the chance. He's a real good guy. I think his health isn't great, but a real good guy.
Hey, Jim, I'm gonna I want to ask you honestly. What's your perception of all your years being in Baton Rouge, being in Biloxi, being close to the LSU football program? What was your perception?
There were a lot of games at Tiger Stadium, but not when I was in Baton Rouge.
Right.
I've got Glenn can fill you in the reasons for that, but he goes by the Bop.
So I'm trying to get to a point here. So what is your take? What is your perception on LSU football this year? From Western
Kelly
Kentucky.
was a square peg in a round hole. He tried to, didn't he try a fake accent and that went over like a lead balloon? I don't know. It this is a big hire. You know, I don't know if Kiffin goes or not. He's got a pretty good thing going at Ole Miss without the pressure that you would have at LSU. And then there's Jeff Clandery. I know he's involved in all this. Didn't he change his name? Oh, Jeff Landry, excuse me. Jeff Landry.
We're going to get a phone call from you. By insulting him, we're going to get a phone call.
Oh, I'm not scared of any of these Trumpers. They can go jump in a lake. All of them.
If LSU, you know, Verge Osberry's obviously going after Kiffin. That's his number one choice. Verge is in charge.
I like Verge. He's a good guy. He's a real good guy.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah, but if he gets turned down, if he chooses to stay at Ole Miss, or if he chooses to go to Florida, do you like Landry's pick the LSU coach? Yeah, he's going to pick Trump. He said he'll get like Trump.
Yeah, just give Diaper Donnie a call and let's see who he wants. You know, Newt Rodney. You know, I think Newt Rodney's ashes. Maybe I don't know. It's all ridiculous. You know, Rod Higgins is a buddy of mine, and I've talked to a couple other guys down there. It's kind of embarrassing, really. Stay in your lane. You know, LSU has this great tradition. Don't sully it with nonsense. You know, and that's really what it is. I mean, hey, I'm just playing along. You know.
I hear you.
I'm a serious guy. Ask Glenn.
Well, man, so
a heart attack.
I wish you were coming down to Baton Rouge, man.
I wish I was,
man.
Too. I do. I came down Super Bowl week with my dog and went to Orange Beach a couple days, and I made it to Biloxi, but I was coming back to cover a big high school game, so I did two nights in Biloxi and came home.
Jim, that...
I mean, I've done a few Super Bowls in New Orleans, and they're a lot of fun.
But this is a good Western Kentucky team, Jim. I mean, I'm thinking if LSU.
It's the best of Tyson 7 years. It's the best of Tyson. I think this might be the year that Tyson is tempted to take another job.
I see.
You know, he's come up short a couple times. They faded. They faded last year and lost their bowl game. 2 years ago, a local kid from South Warren, Caden Belkamp. A great high school quarterback who had a lot of intangibles but not the strongest arm in the world. They kind of ran him off. They were talking about moving him to tight end, and he was the Conference USA Offensive Player of the Year, and he transferred from Bowling Green. His dad was a journeyman coach. He's at Florida Atlantic now. Apparently, they're about a 500 team.
Well, Mash, what is? Give us. We're signing off now. So, well, we're not signing off the show, but we're going to let you go. Sorry. What is the Western?
You know that, Glenn. You know that.
What's the Western Kentucky battle cry? Can you give us the battle cry as you leave?
Ooh.
Is there one?
They've got a song that they've been playing since Reconstruction. Dear old Western, stand up and cheer. It's called Stand Up and Cheer.
There it is.
I'm not going to subject your listeners to me singing. No way.
All right, Jim.
Can't do it.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jim.
I'll see you guys down the road. Enjoy it. See you.
All right, man.
All right. It's a blast from the past. Jim Mashick writes for jimmashick.com. Let's take a break. More coming up of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Let's go. We now return to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo. Great to hear from Jim Mashick again. It's been a while. Yeah, he's one of a kind, a very unique individual, and a funny man.
He kind of mispronounced some names there, but
that's okay.
I'm going to have to text him after the show and see who won the Corgi race.
It is amazing. He had the same answer that Bruce Feldman had about Brian Kelly, bad fit.
Yeah. Everybody's, I mean, it's, and it's the feel, it seemed like the LSU fans, there was a large percentage of LSU fans that really wanted it to work, that really believed it could work. Am I right on that?
Well, I think, you know, it's funny. Brian Kelly was never really wanted by LSU fans, but then when he was not in the picture, as we said earlier, but as soon as he got the job, LSU fans were really excited. Why? Because they got Notre Dame's coach.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they were excited. And he was established, and he was seen as a more serious and organized coach.
Structured than
Orgeron was. Because at the end, Orgeron did kind of lose it structure-wise. And really, Les was kind of a laissez-faire coach
as well. Well, it turns out that Brian Kelly was the same thing.
Yeah.
From what you're hearing. I mean, we heard from Bruce Feldman about Kelly rather go golfing and recruiting. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's what you had. It's what you had with the last – well, I don't want to say Les was a golfer, and I don't think Ed's a golfer, but you know what I'm saying. They had interest outside of – or they weren't sticking to what the job needed to be done.
Well, neither was Ed in his last couple of years.
Yeah.
But before that, he was a big-time recruiter, and he was hungry. But Kelly arrived here kind of on a golden parachute contract, not that hungry, kind of like a 33-year-old baseball player who gets the big contract and doesn't show up.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Todd.
I was going to say, the very first one-on-one conversation I ever had with Brian Kelly, he revealed that. How did he say it? Because I was talking to him about, obviously, you came here for the big contract, for the money. He goes, well, I was making $9 million a year at Notre Dame, which was private information. Private institution, we couldn't verify that or not. But he's like, no, I made $9 million, but it's the guarantee. You know,
that's what he said?
Well, in so many words. I can't remember exactly how it was, but he left you with the impression that the guarantee was the most important part.
And I think he did think he'd have a better chance to win a national championship here than he did at Notre Dame, but I think he thought it would be easier. But,
yes, yeah. I think he looked at Les Miles and Ed Orgeron and said, hey, these guys aren't.
Well, and he thought he had alignment too, and he talked about that. He thought he had it with Scott Woodward, and he thought he had it with Bill Tate. And
what did you guys make? I didn't mean to interrupt, Todd, but Bruce Feldman and how much Scott Woodward meddled with the football program. Yeah. What'd you make out of that comment?
Well, at least we know where he was because he was never in his office, so he was in the football office.
Yeah, more and more is coming out about Scott Woodward, and he was overrated too, just like Kelly.
Yeah, well, and
they're
I
really the same.
Yeah, and to hear that he was the one pushing, and I told Todd that a couple of weeks ago because I heard it on Bruce Feldman's podcast that it was Scott that pushed for Bo Pelini as the defensive coordinator. I mean, that's why
that ended Ed Orgeron's reign.
He's also the one who pushed for Blake Baker though, too. Remember the Vanderbilt game? I mean, Missouri game a few years ago, whenever they showed Woodward talking to Baker out on the field.
Hopefully, Verge stays out of it, even though he knows much more about football than Scott Woodward ever dreamed of.
Good point. We'll have our final segment when we come back.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious... With multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac home standby generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac standby generators.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Back here for the final segment of Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gilbo and Todd Horn and Andre Champagne. Andre, I understand you got something for us?
So during player interviews, they gave the media Michael Van Buren, and according to Wilson Alexander, Michael Van Buren made his wishes clear. He wants to stay at LSU through the coaching change. So there you go. He's not going to leave unless I guess he's forced out by
That's just January.
The coaching staff, yeah.
So that's not that long through the coaching change. That's just a couple of months. What about spring?
I think we know what he means.
He would go through the window.
Next coach.
And there's
no matter
there's
who is hired,
window.
I guess.
Okay. He wants to be.
I'm a Tiger.
He's a Tiger. Yeah.
What do you? This seems to me like a media contrived story about he should just sit out and take the red shirt. If the kid wants to play, let him play.
Yeah, I don't understand that red shirt.
He's only a sophomore.
I've heard people.
Yeah, but I still think those kids want to play, though, even if it's just a couple of games. And this is his chance.
And I still go back to my point of he does want to have more tape of himself with a legitimate program than what he had at Mississippi State. And in case he does have to move to Plan B, and it doesn't seem like the new coaching staff is interested in having him around. He's got an option here. But if the kid wants to play, let him play. I think Frank has made it pretty obvious that the kid wants to play and they want him to play.
Well, so, thinking about it like this, too. When he signed at LSU, transferring from Mississippi State, which he was 1-7 as the starter, he was coming in where Garrett Nussmeier was, who was a number 5 passer in the nation last year. A supposed first-round pick early. At times last year, they were saying he was going to be the first quarterback picked. He stays. He's supposed to be the Heisman Trophy candidate. So in Van Buren's mind, he's probably thinking he'll never play this season. And look, he's already started a game. He's played against Alabama, and he's going to start 2 more games.
He was told by Brian Kelly, and we were all told by Brian Kelly.
A lot
Kelly
of people were told that they stuff were going, by Brian
he was
Kelly.
Why do you always interrupt in the middle of something?
Just go ahead. Go ahead, Todd.
He was going to be redshirted. He was told that. We were told that.
Right.
That was the plan. So was Juwan Johnson going to be redshirted.
Right.
That was the plan. It blew up
Right. But I think he enjoys the fact that he's playing and that it blew
I know,
up.
But that's short-sightedness on his part.
Sure, he's a kid.
Time, money, value. He could actually make several hundred thousand more dollars if he would redshirt this year, if not up to $1 million. Depends on what they're paying the quarterbacks. By the way, we're trying to get all that information out of LSU right now, what they're paying the players, and they're refusing to provide it.
Yeah, well, it's and it was part of when they passed the NIL law. It said that they did not have to disclose it. So,
we may challenge that.
Final, how did you guys think he played Saturday?
I thought he played great. I think he should have been playing all year if you're going to go off that. Sounds like a contradiction to what I just said. But he was built for this offense much better than Garrett Nussmeier was built. Now, if they had an offensive line that could pass protect, it would have been a different story. But they didn't. So you need somebody with some legs.
I thought he played well, but it was Arkansas.
It was Arkansas, and they still can't score 25 points. It's crazy. It's absolutely amazing. They have yet to score 25 points against an FBS team. Maybe that'll happen this Saturday. Guys, thanks a lot. Andre, Glenn, Todd, this has been Tiger Rag Radio. I'm Jeff Palermo. For the latest in LSU athletics, check out TigerRag.com. Have a great night, everyone. From the Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're signing off.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at TigerRag.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TigerRag Magazine. Or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.